We have come to the final moments of this conference, and of course, we want to thank again the believers here for working so hard and for taking care of us for the weekend. For all of us who are here as guests, we do thank you for that. Now, this has been an afternoon that has been full of ministry, and of course, people are tired, no doubt, but we treat this time, these final moments, as valuable time. When we give one final call to any in our audience who are without Christ, to come and trust Him for salvation. Before we open the scriptures together, let's just bow our heads again and ask for the Lord's help with us. Father, we come again into Thy presence at this time, recognizing we need the mercy of God amongst us. As the Word of God is opened, and this time it is not to those who have already trusted, to those who are safe in the fold, but we are now directing our comments and these passages of Scripture to those amongst us who as yet are lost without Christ. And so help us now, open our eyes, Father, and help those who are amongst us who are blind to see. We pray that Thy Word will be clear and plain, and that it will be pointed specific to the needs of this audience. We ask in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read with you just one passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And beginning at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the Apostle Paul says, as we have received mercy, we faint not, or we do not lose heart, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation or open statement of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid or veiled, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, or should I read that another way, lest the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I find it interesting, and these words remind me of the words of John Newton, most here will know, as he wrote his very famous words, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." You know, it's interesting that as we come into the Word of God, we recognize very quickly in the New Testament that blind men were men of emphasis when we come to the Gospels. We find them repeatedly as the Lord Jesus is moving down the road of life and moving in His ministry. There are specific individual blind men that meet Him along the way. And each one of them receives their sight. Their eyes are open. And do you know who they saw? They saw Jesus. You know, it interested me in the last week because I went into the Old Testament and I wanted to find a blind man in the Old Testament and to see how they were treated in the Old Testament. And you know what I found? I had a hard time coming up with one. I don't know their names. I know the name of a leper, but I don't know the name of any blind man in the Old Testament, as far as I know. And if you've found one, let me know after the meeting. I would really like to know. But I'll tell you this, whether they're there or not, they're very hard to find if they are. They're hidden. However, the Old Testament does mention how we're supposed to treat the blind. But you know what I enjoyed about the reality was this, that it's not until the light is present in the world, the Lord Jesus is actually present in the world, that blind men see. That individual
men who could not at one time see. They stumbled around in darkness. Suddenly their eyes are open to the glory of Christ, and their blindness is removed. And it's still true tonight. Blind men are still having their eyes open all across this globe. And wouldn't it be a wonderful way to end the Mansfield Conference of 2009 with someone in this audience tonight spiritually blind? You can't see. You can't see the grace of God. You can't see His love for you. You have never seen to this point why it was that Christ actually had to die. You have not recognized as of yet the horrid reality of your sins. And tonight, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the gospel of His glory, you can see because of what He has done. It's a wonderful message, and I just want to bring out to you very quickly, because there are only a few minutes that remain, three characteristics of blindness as we see in this passage before us. Because we read very clearly that the Apostle Paul has made very careful in his time of preaching that he make the gospel very clear. He wasn't seeking to do anything deceitful or seeking to sway them by entertaining them. He just wanted to lay the truth of God's word in front of these people. But he did recognize the reality that the gospel is still hidden. Paul didn't hide it. God hasn't hidden it. He demonstrated his love to the world. He has demonstrated his justice to the world. Who has hidden it? You see, in whom the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, of those who are perishing. And if you're sitting here tonight, whether you know all kinds of memory verses, and you know all kinds of Sunday school doctrine, and you know all kinds of Bible stories, whoever you might be here tonight, if you are not saved, you are spiritually blind. And there is no difference in this world. Satan has your eyes just as blind as the savage Indian in a far-off jungle who has never heard the name of Christ. You're blind. You can't see. And I want you to notice the first thing about blindness. It implies the fact that there is something to see. We wouldn't worry about blindness if there was nothing to see. If there was no reason for sight in the first place. But of course, you could take a blind man to some of the most beautiful sights in the world and say, would you just have a look at that? Look at that rainbow and the beautiful colors. And suddenly the blind man senses his need. Suddenly he recognizes there's something desperately missing in my life. There is something there that makes me incapable of enjoying whatever it is that's out there. There is something to see. Now, I want to keep this passage in context and show us what the object was that is to be seen past your blindness. Notice what it says in verse 4. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice very carefully what it is that you need to see. What it is that is being held from your eyes. The gospel of the glory of Christ. Not just simply the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth. Not simply the gospel of one who lived in poverty. One who suffered, the suffering man of Calvary. But the gospel of the glorified Christ is hidden from your eyes. You say, why is that important? I want you to have a look at the Lord Jesus today. And I want you to notice something. He is in heaven in glory in a way that He had never been before. Because He is a real man at the right hand of His Father. How did He get to be a man? How is it that all those angels and all the people in the book of Revelation, all the creatures of the world seem to be gathering around and saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The glorified Lord points back to the point, the reality that once He was in this world as a real man, and He moved towards the cross, and now He is in heaven, not simply a real man, but a wounded man. The wounds are in His hands and in His feet. Visibly it is seen that once He lived, Once he suffered on a cross, once he died, and now he is risen again. He is on high. The work is finished. He's glorified, and God has honored his Son. This is the Savior that is presented to you tonight. To every sinner here, not simply a man writhing in agony at Calvary. That's what he did for your sins. But a man who went into death and rose again the third day. And he is at the right hand of God even now. And he is able to save you as a glorified Lord. But you're blinded from seeing him. Can I tell you something tonight? And I don't want you to lose this. If you do not see him as your Savior in this life, you will see him. But you will see him as your judge at the final judgment of God's remaining last enemy, sinful, rebellious man. It will be God's final word on this world as the Lord Jesus stands or sits to judge sinful men. And so tonight the call goes out to you. Oh, that there was someone here and you would want to get rid of this blindness. You would want to have it removed. All of this sin that is in the way, that you would have your eyes fixed on this one important goal, that I might see Jesus, that I might recognize him and all of his glory and what he has done at the cross for me, that you would want tonight to see. I want you to think, secondly, that blindness implies not only the fact that there is an object to be seen, but there is an obstacle that is in between. There's something that's holding back your sight. There's something that is making you incapable of seeing. And the first thing we have to recognize is this, is that just because you can't see it does not remove the realities around you. They are still there. Whether you see them or not, they still remain. We live very close to a very famous highway. In fact, from our upstairs window, we can faintly see the trucks riding down this highway, and it's known as Carnage Alley. It's been known as that for a number of years because since, I believe, the 1980s, Carnage Alley, or Highway 401 between, I think it is London and Windsor, has been the site of so many fatalities because of the fact, if you've ever driven it, you know what I'm talking about. It is probably one of the most boring stretches of highway in all of North America. And people drive it, it's straight, and every once in a while there's the odd curve and people fall asleep, and there's so many trucks on that highway that it is known as Carnage Alley. I was driving on Carnage Alley on September the 3rd of 1999, and I saw the pillar of smoke ahead of me that was rising and billowing and had no concept of what the terror and the horror was going to be we were going to come up against. What had happened would turn out to be the deadliest pileup in Canada on any Canadian highway. 87 cars, 8 people were dead and 33 injured. What happened was simply this. Cars were driving along that morning at the Windsor Airport. There had been one of the weather detectors, one of the monitors that monitors how much moisture is in the air, had malfunctioned. They didn't know. And so nothing was said, nothing was done. And the weather reports and the radio stations did not report that there might be or there was a chance of any kind of fog. Nobody expected it. And all of a sudden, people drove into what seemed, as the witnesses had said, like a wall of fog all around them. They could see nothing. And the next thing they knew, one after the other, slamming into each other. There were some who were sitting in cars helpless and listening to the cars slamming into the rear ends of one another, thinking, this one is going to kill us. This one is going to kill us. All the time, the reality of death was all around them. They couldn't see it, but it was there. And just because tonight, you may not think there's any spiritual danger out there. You may think life is just cruising along all the time. This book, the Bible, the Word of God reminds me that there are spiritual realities that are everywhere around me, and you cannot see them apart from the warnings of God's Word. In fact, men have gone so far, they don't want to see God. They don't want to see their sin. They do not want to see eternity. And so what do? They seek to erase Him out of their minds. They seek to erase the evidence of Him, all evidence at all.
Ron Carlson was teaching in a university he was visiting, and he was giving a talk on intelligent design. And afterwards, he was sitting at lunch with a professor who admitted to him that his talk on intelligent design was convincing. However, this professor was convinced, or was adamant, that he was going to continue to teach evolution in his classrooms, or Darwinism in his classrooms. When Ron Carlson pressed him and asked him why it would be, if it's so convincing that there must be a designer that made all of this world, why would you still go about teaching Darwinism and that everything evolved out of chance and circumstance? Do you know what he said? Because it is morally comfortable. It's not an intelligent argument. It's what I want to see. You know what's sadder than just being blind and not seeing the realities around you? You know what is sadder than all of that? Speaking of which, by the way, do you know what it is that has blinded you? The God of this world has painted sin in such beautiful colors. It's as though you have a blindfold on your face, and on the inside of that blindfold, He's painted such pretty pictures of sin. And all you want is the sin of this world. If only God could remove the blindfold tonight and show you the wonders of a Savior, an eternal life, life filled with satisfaction, would you not want it? Satan has blinded your mind, but I want you to notice there is something more tragic than being blinded, and it's this. Naturally speaking, blind men and women are those that have an acute sense of hearing. They pick up things with their ears that none of us who have our eyes even appreciate. Because that's how they see. They see with their ears. They hear everything. They hear the number of steps. They hear what's coming and what's moving and which way the traffic's going and how far the car is from them as it's running by. They know all of those things because they use their ears. And what would be more tragic than you being blind in your sins, spiritually blind and in darkness to this world? What is more tragic is the fact that as the warning reaches your ears, you won't even use your ears to listen and stop and consider. No wonder the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The sad reality on the Titanic, that as it was going down in its last minutes, there was a man on board by the name of Jack Phillips. Jack Phillips had a lot to think about that night. He was the wireless operator on the ship. He was the only one that knew the sixth message that had come through, the sixth warning of icebergs and ice ahead, ice all around them. Do you know what he said in response to a ship that was only a few yards away, not very far away? The lights could be seen. Do you know what he said? Words that you're told not to say to your brother or your sister or anyone around you or any of your friends. He said, "Shut up. I'm busy." He was so frustrated. He used the most blunt language he could to try and get this message across. I do not want to hear the warnings that you have for me. Sadly, the ship that was just not far away watched that mysterious boat as the light seemed to glimmer in the water and the rockets shot off from the bridge of that ship. They watched the entire thing until the lights went out on that mysterious ship. They watched it go down and had no idea what was going on. Do you know why? Because the wireless operator in the other ship had turned his radio off and he had gone to bed. Not listening to the warnings? I want you to notice one final thing before we close. Blindness not only has an object to be seen and an obstacle that is in between, but blindness has an obligation of darkness. You see, if you're blind tonight, you're in spiritual darkness. And if you remain blind to the light of the gospel, the light that glimmers as hope
before you. There is only one way of salvation. If you remain blind to this, there is only darkness at the end of life. The Bible calls it outer darkness, weeping, grinding of teeth, wailing will be the result of people who land in the flames of hell forever. The flames of a lake that burns and burns and burns. We live in a world today where Christians are apologetic about the subject of hell. And they seek to wash over it and kind of hide it under the covers. They don't want to bring out this hard, unapologetic truth that there is judgment at the end of life. But friend, if you should have your choice of blindness and continue on in your sins, it will be darkness forever. I was reading J.I. Packer's words about R.W. Dale's comment when R.W. Dale said once that D.L. Moody had the right to preach about hell because so clearly he did so from a weeping heart. And I wonder, are there any with us at the end of this conference this weekend and you are going to reject the gospel for one last time and walk away in that spiritual blindness and choose darkness? When all the time the gospel of the glory of Christ is offering light. God wants to shine light into your hearts tonight. It's not His choice to give you darkness. It's His choice to shine light in tonight if you should trust Christ as your personal Savior. He wants to give you light and allow it to shine in. But there is the tremendous danger that if you continue the way you're moving, there is darkness for you. I trust that you will take these words and that we will leave this conference this weekend with the solemn reminder in our hearts that we have souls amongst us who are still lost and very, very blind. They need a Savior. You need a Savior. Friend, come and trust Him before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, we close this conference today looking again heavenward because this weekend has been one in which we have desired to hear the voice of God. And we pray that tonight those who have not heard Thy voice in the past or hear Thee as Father would hear Thee tonight, calling to lost sinners, those who are strangers, those who are far off, those who are enemies to Thee, that they might hear Thy voice. And so we pray that Thou wilt speak loudly in our audience. We recognize that death is a reality that hovers over every one of us, whether saved or unsaved. But what a tragic reality to think that there are some with us tonight. And if death should overtake them, there is no hope for eternity. But now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Lord, have mercy upon them today. Create the urgency within their own hearts to recognize that time is passing, the clock continues to tick, and the opportunity is wasting away. We pray that they would take this time now to be saved from their sins. And so we trust Thy capable hand in moving and Thy power in the gospel. We trust that Thou wilt continue to move according to Thy mercy and according to Thy grace, we ask in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.